322-0175-WC, City of Joliet, appellant by Nicole Wiesa versus the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission, Kimberly Smythe, appellee by Matthew Coleman.
May proceed, Ms. Wiesa.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the court. My name is Nicole Wiesa, and I represent the appellant in this matter, the City of Joliet. The city brings this appeal before you based on the previous circuit court order, which affirmed the commission that awarded certain benefits to the claimant in this matter, Ms. Kimberly Smythe, but also denied certain credits which were sought by the city. This case initially stemmed from two separate work incidents sustained by Ms. Smythe to her shoulder and knee. Initially, the city had causation disputes with each claim. These were brought up through the commission level, and once the commission affirmed causation and the awards for the periods of temporary total and the medical bills, at that time we ended the appeal. Therefore, as I said, what we have before you today is solely a question of what monies or credits should be afforded to the city, which were paid out to Ms. Smythe throughout the course of these claims. And there's two parts to this credit argument. The first are for certain sections where TTD was awarded, but monies were paid to Ms. Smythe and TTD credit was not afforded to the city. The second aspect of our argument is for certain periods where Ms. Smythe received monies over and above what the act allows for, the two-thirds for TTD benefits, and the city was also denied credit for those benefits. In this matter, there's four different sections that have been laid out in the brief, and I would like to go through each of those sections to set forth the city's arguments. The first section involves the initial 6 months of Ms. Smythe's claim when the city was paying TTD benefits. At the same time, Ms. Smythe was receiving what we referred to as make-whole benefits in light of the pending collective bargaining agreement requiring that the city provide an additional the difference between the TTD benefits and her salary. Like I said, during this time, temporary total benefits were paid. They were not in dispute. And the lower courts did provide credit to the city for making those payments. Now, what is at issue for this period is the make-whole payment or the additional one-third that the city paid to Ms. Smythe throughout this first six-month period. Now, initially, these benefits were awarded by the arbitrator. The commission and circuit court vacated the award of those credits, relying on the fact that saying that the city failed to show that the salary payments paid for that period were limited to employment-related disabilities. Also, they focused their analysis on whether the make-whole benefits were paid irrespective of the work injury and found that they were not. In response, the city argues that that is not correct and that should be reversed. There was clear language in the CBA that was governing at the time, which said specifically in order for those additional benefits to be received by Ms. Smythe, she had to have sustained an on-the-job injury, illness, or disability. Clearly stated, that was the only reason that the make-whole benefits were triggered, and that was only because Ms. Smythe sustained a work injury. Therefore, based on that analysis, the commission and circuit court were erroneous in vacating the award of those credits for the make-whole benefits for that initial six-month period. The second period of time, which is from July 15th.
So, Council, if you could illuminate the commission's decision for reversing the arbitrator and denying the credit there. The commission found that since respondent had received full credit for the TTD payments it made during this period, it was not entitled any further credit for the period, explaining respondent already received a credit for the TTD paid of $58,188.50, the extent of the compensation that would have been payable during the period covered by such payment. Was that the commission's reasoning?
Well, Your Honor, the commission did then go on to provide further discussion of why the city didn't prove that the make-whole benefits were paid solely because of the work injury. There's another couple lines there in the second part of the paragraph where they then say that they discuss about certain evidence provided by testimony, where they then state that we couldn't even verify the period for the make whole benefit and therefore did not prove our entitlement to the credit. So that's, you know, in response to that is where I read it that the commission and the circuit court have rested their analysis on the fact that since we didn't prove the make whole benefit was only provided because of a work injury, that we shouldn't be entitled to it. And so the basis then of our argument is that that's not correct, that the facts and evidence clearly show the only reason that the make whole benefit was provided to Ms. Smythe was because she sustained a work injury.
Well, if the respondent could take them back later in lieu of paying the benefits, how does that logically and legally make those payments? How's the claimant made whole if respondent can take back the credits?
Well, for those credits, Your Honor, we would be seeking credits against the overall award. So the credit was given for the initial TTD payment against the TTD period. But for those initial benefits, that was something afforded to Ms. Smythe in addition to, those are in addition to what she would get under the act, right? So that I would say is seen as sort of an extra benefit while she's off work to use. So therefore, and what the case law, the cases that address the, you know, when credits can be, could and should be applied would show that this wouldn't be to take anything away from Ms. Smythe per se, but to credit it against of the full award of the case, you know, of the decision by the commission.
Okay.
Okay. So the second section, this is from July 15 to 2016. Now what occurred during this period is Ms. Smythe continued to receive temporary total disability.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, Your Honor.
So you don't dispute that you received a credit for all the TTD that was paid?
There's for the initial two periods through January of 2016, benefits that were specifically designated as TTD were credited, correct?
Okay, so now you're seeking a credit for additional sums that you paid over and above that TTD, is that correct?
Correct.
Well, where would the commission ever get the authority to award you a credit against compensation due under the Workers' Compensation Act for some other amount of money you paid over and above that which you were required to pay under the Act?
Well, Your Honor, that's where the cases come in. The Salisbury case, World Color Press, Mesomore, where when benefits have been paid over and above what should be received by the individual.
But you didn't pay additional TTD over and above. You paid a contractual obligation under a collective bargaining agreement. You didn't pay any additional sums over TTD based on her entitlement to benefits under the Act. You're asking for a credit for something that you paid that didn't amount to compensation within the meaning of the Workers' Compensation Act. Where would the commission ever get the authority to award a credit for that?
Well, based on the analysis that the payments, it says specifically, the basis, that we know from TPAC and from the Elgin case that the employer is entitled to a credit where it can be shown that the payment for which credit is sought is available exclusively for occupational related diseases. So the only reason that Ms. Smythe was entitled to receive this additional payment was because she sustained an occupational disease. So
we understand that. The right. Only reason she was entitled to it under the collective bargaining agreement was because she had suffered an occupational injury. But the payment of that additional money was not the payment of compensation under the Workers' Compensation Act. And so it was payment that you were obligated to pay pursuant to a collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
You're only entitled to credits for amounts you pay that you were required to pay under the Act.
And as you'll see, Judge, and as I proceed, the facts then change where this argument kind of varies a little and becomes, I think, a little bit clearer in some of the other aspects of some of our other facts. As we go into the second period of time from July 2015 to January 2016, during that point, the collective bargaining agreement no longer applied. The 6-month period for it had expired, and Ms. Smythe was now still receiving TTD. And again, we have no issue with the credit that she received for that TTD period, which is what she would be allowed under the act. Now, during that time, what happened was that when you look at the facts and the evidence, she continued to receive her payments exactly the same way she had for the prior 6 months.
Which she could have under the collective bargaining agreement, she could have elected specifically to continue to receive those payments, correct?
She could have, Your Honor. And here's where I'm saying that I believe the commission and the circuit court were against the manifest weight of the evidence, because they're finding that she put that collective bargaining agreement into effect or went ahead and used her accrued benefits. Like I said, it was against the manifest weight of the evidence. I don't believe, and we argue that that's the case. There, if you look at the 80-some pages of payment records that we submitted, I think it very clearly delineates when she worked regular time. She had hours that came out. She had certain benefits that came out. When she went on TTD, it showed the TTD. You know, these documents very clearly designated and laid out how she was being paid. For this second period of time, basically what happened is how she'd been paid for the first 6 months didn't change. It just didn't get shut off that she needed to have just gone back to getting TTD. Now, you're right, Your Honor, if she wanted to have the accrued benefits start coming out and covering her additional missing wages, she had that right. But it's our position that no facts proved or showed that that was the case. We had testimony, we had documentary evidence that those pay stubs were correct. And when it showed that she wasn't using accrued benefits, that in fact, that was the case. And so really what this section, what occurred sort of during this period of time is that, like I said, the exact way she was being paid before by the city just kept going. It wasn't turned off because she didn't ever apply for or request that the accrued benefits be used. So this is where the cases I mentioned, earlier, Salisbury, World Color Press, and the cases where the general purposes of the act would come into play, where when we've overpaid for a reason, for an inexplicable reason or in error, that these benefits should be applied to a credit over, again, not just TTD, but in this case, over the overall general award, which was submitted through the commission.
But isn't there another mechanism going on here? Isn't it also true that the CBA, there could be a continuation of make whole benefits beyond the initial 6 months if it's based on an expenditure of accrued leave?
Right, but again, Your Honor, the CBA says that that has to be, that the employee may choose, that they may request for that to happen. And again, in this case, that did not happen. Ms. Smythe didn't request to start using her accrued benefits. The evidence that was provided that was the case, there was hearsay evidence that shouldn't have been relied upon by the commission or the circuit court because it was sustained.
But didn't the commission implicitly overrule the arbitrator? Didn't the commission find that it was not hearsay?
No, Your Honor. And that was not brought up on appeal. The evidence was sustained and that was not brought up after that. So to rely on that again would be an error. The evidence just wasn't, I think the evidence more favored and weighed in that this was merely done in error, that there was no request by Ms. Smythe to receive the accrued benefits as her supplemental income. And therefore this was additional money paid to her in error and should be credited back. The next period that we go to, again, this is a kind of an interesting situation, but at this point, Ms. May started receiving full salary. She was not at work, she was not getting TTD, and she was getting her full salary. None of those things are disputed. Now, what took place during this time, again, the pay stubs, I think, go to show that for some reason, again, inexplicably, she's now receiving full wages. We do not dispute that the TTD was awarded for this period, but instead we would seek the TTD that we would receive a credit. No credits were given for this period because again, the commission and circuit court found that Ms. Smythe was using her accrued benefits for these wages when again, the facts just simply don't support that. She never requested it. There was nothing in payroll. There was no writing. There was no documentation to support that these accrued benefits were being used. And you'll even see that during the next period, our last period, the accrued benefits were then being used. So I understand that the commission made their findings, but again, I think that their findings were against the manifest weight based on the evidence presented. And that, again, there was, I wish I could give you a concrete answer as to why the full salary was being paid, but none of her accrued benefits were taken out of the pay stubs. And as this was taking place, she subsequently was awarded TTD, but then there was no credit given to the city for the TTD. So therefore we would seek that we'd be afforded at least the TTD credit for the period of TTD awarded for that period.
I'm getting confused by this argument. 8J2 seems to cover this circumstance where it says that nothing contained shall be construed to give you or carrier the right to credit for any benefits or payments received by employment other than compensation payable pursuant to the act and the amount extra that was being paid under the collective bargaining agreement was not compensation pursuant to the act. And then goes on to say, and where they receive other compensation, whether it's full, partial salary, et cetera, and so on, you were entitled to a credit for each such payment only to the extent of the compensation that would have been payable during that period covered by the payment. And I presume that's other than compensation under the act that would have been payable during that payment. So if the amounts payable over and above TTD were not payable pursuant to the act, where do you get the right to a credit under 8J?
Well, it would to be it's pursuant to the case law, Judge. The World Color Press addresses it, Salisbury Court addresses it, Messimori, and it's pursuant to the fact that these payments were made in error. The overpayment, the payment of a salary when she wasn't working and should only have been getting TTD once we got that issue worked out, that was made in error. There was no, she should not have been receiving that money at all. That's more than what she would get if she was, let's say we weren't in any dispute and she was getting paid benefits. She'd only get paid the TTD. She shouldn't have been getting a full salary. We had no agreement on file to that extent, and the CBA wasn't in control then. So really it falls under the category of an overpayment, an erroneous payment, and that, you know, there shouldn't be a windfall to Ms. Smythe for receiving over and above what she should have received under the act.
Is that the case for all three periods that you're claiming a credit for?
No, that is the argument for the middle two periods from July 2015 through August 2016, when she was receiving over and above the TTD amount in error.
So what about the period that she was receiving these payments when it wasn't an error? You still claim you're entitled to credit?
So where the TTD payments were credited, we don't, but for the last two periods where she received full salary, no credit was given whatsoever for the TTD period. So at a minimum, we should have received a credit for the TTD period when she was paid. Now, again, it's dependent upon the commission categorization, but I also would argue under Elgin, their categorization of her being paid by accrued benefits or not almost wouldn't matter, because under Elgin, when accrued benefits were used in lieu of TTD, this court awarded credit for the TTD period. So for the last two sections from January 2016 through December of 2017, the commission gave zero credit whatsoever, and I would argue at a minimum, at least the TTD period for which she received at first her full salary and then used accrued benefits. It seems to me that both periods should at least warrant the credit for TTD, the TTD period.
Counsel, why isn't the plain language of Section HA1 itself controlling? You're trying to bring in these cases by analogy, but why isn't the statute controlling that Justice Hoffman has read several times?
Sure. Your Honor, I believe that it's controlling, but in connection with having to look at it with how it's been interpreted by the cases that have come since.
Is there some case that purported to overrule it?
Not to overrule, but the cases that I referenced in my brief and have mentioned here, I think are relevant for an instance like this. I mean, I will say I haven't had this scenario often where there's been such sort of overpayments and changes in the way payments were made, and you know, such different factual scenarios for throughout the life of a case. But I think you have to look at both the statute and in connection with the case law, how to handle and to address the credit so that there isn't a windfall solely to the petitioner, to Ms.
Smith. And just to conclude, the burden of proving entitlement to credits does fall on you, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
The claimant doesn't have to prove that it's not entitled to the claim.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wizza. Mr. Coleman, you may respond.
Thank you. May it please the court, justices, counsel. My name is Matthew Coleman, and I represent the injured worker in this matter, Ms. Kimberly Smythe. Now, burden is a burden. It's a heavy workload. And this is important because injured claimants and their attorneys are intimately familiar with having a burden and know that all their I's must be dotted and T's crossed. Otherwise, benefits will be denied. That's why we're here today. Quite simply, it was the city's burden to prove that it was entitled to a credit and it failed to do so. And I think the justices are starting to see that the city doesn't know what the city doesn't know in this case. Now, I will address counsel's arguments regarding overpayment, World Color Press, Salisbury, TPAC, Village of Elgin. But before I do that, I want to refer to the testimony of the city's claims administrator, Armando Diavila, in his testimony at the record 337 through 338. And this is regarding payment made by the city on February 26, 2016. And I asked him, question, how much was paid by the city of Joliet? Answer, how much was paid? According to this, she was paid $3,729.36. Question, why? Answer, why was she paid that amount? Question, she wasn't working and it's not TTD. Why did you pay that amount, or why did your predecessor pay that amount? Answer, you would need to ask her. Now, I didn't say this then, but I'll say it now. I don't got to ask her anything. You got to do it, right? So, you know, that's essentially, with respect, where the analysis in this case should end. Just as if during the deposition of Dr. Burra, I had asked him, Dr. Burra, is it your opinion to a reasonable degree of certainty in the field of orthopedic surgery, whether the symptoms for which you're recommending an arthroscopic surgery are related to the wreck? And he said, I don't know, you'll have to ask your other doctor. It's the same, you know, if that were the case, if he answered that way, I wouldn't be here right now on a causation issue regarding the right shoulder. First, I'd bang my head against the wall. Second, I would ask Dr. Burra the same question 25 more times until I try to get a different answer. But if all the answers were the same, you got to ask somebody else, I'd pick up the phone, I'd call Ms. Smythe, and I'd say, Kim, time to prepare yourself emotionally because we're not going to meet our burden on the right shoulder causation claim. That's what I would do. And that's where we're at with the city today. When Armando Diavila says, I don't know what these payments represent, the city does not meet its burden. Now I'll turn my attention to the city's claim of an overpayment with regard to World Color Press and Salisbury. Now, the law is clear. The extent of the liability is 2/3 of the average weekly wage for temporary total disability benefits. What happened in World Color Press? Well, in that case, the average weekly wage was adjusted by the commission. In fact, it was reduced, thereby reducing the extent of the liability, or that 2/3 figure. That's why there's an overpayment in that case. And It's funny. I'm 40, and I laugh and I talk with my contemporaries and say, man, how would you like to practice in the 80s when the commission says, yeah, there's an overpayment, but don't worry about it, right? Water under the bridge. That's what happened in World Color Press until it was taken up on appeal. Same is true for Salisbury. They miscalculated the death benefit. And after putting on a hearing and the death benefit was calculated, that's when the credit was applied. Now, the city is claiming, and it's hard to reconcile, that the first make whole benefit they're entitled to a credit for because it's solely related to occupational injuries. But the second period of make whole benefits, that's a mistake. And we're entitled to a credit for that too under World Color Press. Doesn't make sense, right? And at the time of arbitration, they were claiming both periods as make whole solely related to occupational disease or injuries. So the cases are distinguishable specifically because there is a collective bargain agreement supported by the testimony of the city's own claims administrator that a make whole benefit, just like Justice Hudson hit the nail on the head, is separate and above because it acknowledges that two thirds the TTD benefit does not make the injured employee whole. That's why there is an additional mechanism to make them whole. In terms of the third period of time for what the city is now claiming to be salary, or was claiming a salary at the time of the hearing and is claiming a credit, manifest way to the evidence is the appropriate standard of review. And when Mr. Diavila testified that he believed she was working at the time, despite the fact that the claimant herself, her supervisor, and the documents put into evidence show that she was not working at that time. So why was she being paid? Mr. Diavila did not know. The attorney for the IMRF was called to testify too. And in order for the claimant to be able to draw her hardship agreement, she had to deplete her accrued collective bargain benefits, sick, vacation, and comp time. So the commission drew a permissible inference that those benefits had to have been depleted in order for Ms. Smythe to enter into such a hardship agreement. And that inference should not be overturned unless it's against the manifest weight of the evidence. And it's clear, not just by the testimony of Diavila or the glitches on the ADP payment records, that the city doesn't know what any payment represents. And its claims for credits for make whole, and it did claim credits for sick, vacation, and comp time. And it's really important to point out that it claimed a credit for the IMRF hardship agreement payment up until the administrative review. It claimed a credit for every dollar Ms. Smythe received up to the time of the hearing. So as far as the make whole benefits are concerned, legally, the city is never entitled to more than to a credit greater than two thirds of the average weekly wage. When it comes to the period of time when Ms. Smythe received what the city's calling salary, the commission came to the conclusion that they depleted her accrued benefits. That is a factual determination that should not be disturbed unless against the manifest weight of the evidence. For those reasons, justices, I respectfully request that the decision of the Circuit Court of Will County being confirming the decision of the commission be affirmed in all respects. Unless you have any questions, thank you for your time.
Any questions from the court?
I believe so.
No? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Ms. Wizza, you may reply.
Thank you. To touch first on counsel's discussion of the city meeting the burden, and as Your Honor, Justice Hudson mentioned, yes, we understand and agree that it is our burden to prove here. Counsel mentioned one aspect of the testimony of our HR supervisor from the time. And in response, I would argue it is a manifest weight standard. And the manifest weight, we provided pay stubs, pay documentation, that there was no objection to those being submitted into evidence. No one questioned that those were erroneous. That was never brought up. And they very specifically, if you look at the course, depicted how she was paid and where those benefits were paid from. And it shows that no accrued benefits were taken out or used except for when she was working full duty before she was taken off work.
Let me ask you a question. Do you agree with the proposition that you are not entitled to a credit for any benefits that you paid over and above the TTD that was owed to this petitioner?
How I would qualify that, Judge?
That would be a yes or a no, by the way. You agree with that proposition that under no circumstances would you ever be entitled to a credit over and above the TTD benefits that you were owed to this petitioner?
Well, I would disagree, Judge. I think the case law has shown that when the injured worker receives greater than what they're allotted under the act, which would be the TTD amount, that there are instances where we would be credited back, where that is done.
Sure. When you pay TTD by mistake.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, Judge, has occurred here. And I know counsel mentioned, you know, when in his discussion of the overpayment and comparing the facts of World Color Press and of Salisbury,
why was the TTD paid by mistake in this case?
That was exactly it, Your Honor. I mean, it was a mistake. It was paid without, what I think happened for the first section, and it shows she was continued to be paid as she was for that 6 month period, because it wasn't turned off. It wasn't stopped, and she didn't go back down to just receive
the make-whole payment was turned off, right?
Correct. And she was paid
Was she still entitled to TTD for that period?
She was entitled to the TTD, but she wasn't entitled to receive more than the TTD, which she did.
That has nothing to do, that you didn't pay TTD by mistake. You paid the make-whole payment by mistake.
Well, she was paid above and beyond her TTD amount by mistake.
Well, yeah, but it was the payment of a make-whole payment that you made by mistake under the collective bargaining agreement. You didn't pay TTD by mistake.
Right.
Correct, Judge, but I guess what I'm looking at, when the court in World Press looked to some other jurisdictions, right, and the court states that by denying the right to recoup any excess payment, does any excess payment, if later discovered, could frustrate a primary purpose of the act? So the court does address, it says any excess payment, and I would consider this, and that's why I address these cases, that for multiple periods, there was an excess payment. And I understand, yes, we were not paying extra TTD.
Now, do you contend that there's any period for which you did not receive a credit for the actual TTD portion of the payment that you made?
Yes, Judge. Yes.
What period is that?
And that is the last two periods. And that's where she was receiving full salary and then subsequently was being paid out of her accrued benefits. For those two periods, no credit was given for the TTD period. So the court
she was entitled to TTB period for the
correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yes. All right. I understand. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. I know there's a lot there. Thank you very much for your time. Any further questions?
Okay.
Yeah, I do have one final question, counsel. Your opponent, how do you respond to your opponents pointing out that Mr. Davila didn't seem to be able to articulate why these payments were made?
And my response, Judge, is that he didn't know why, because they were done in error. They shouldn't have been made. I mean, that's sort of what kind of got us into this problem in the first place, is that they shouldn't have been made. Those payments should not have continued. After the 6 months ended for the make whole, then a new, you know, something else should have started, that she should have gone back to just getting TTD. There had been no agreement for her accrued benefits to come out at that point, but they kept coming, which is why, our position is that was done in error and she received more than she should have and more than she would have been awarded under the act. And
so the fact that nobody knows why they were made means you have sustained your burden of approving an entitlement to a credit when nobody knows why they got paid.
Well, but they were paid. I mean, the evidence shows that they were paid and that she still received those money. She testified she took that, she cashed the checks and received the money.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, counsel, both for your arguments on this matter this morning. It will be taken under advisement and a written disposition will be forthcoming.